So allow me to make an announcement at the beginning of this talk. That as we continue these 7 a.m. sittings in weekdays, that there will be a change for the next 3 weeks starting on Monday. I'll be here next week, and and then the following 2 weeks, we have two wonderful Zen teachers, friends of mine, who are going to teach. First, Paul Howler will teach on the following week, so the week of the 26th, I think. And then the following week, the abbess of Green Gulch Zen Center, Fu Schrader, will do this five talks in the morning. And the reason for this, what's happening, is that I was invited or asked to teach as a support for Zen Center, I teach what's called a Zen intensive for 3 weeks. And the three of us, who are wonderful friends and have wonderful Dharma discussions among ourselves, and wanted to share some of these Dharma discussions with other people. And so we're doing what's called a Zen intensive, with a schedule of sittings and teachings at San Francisco Zen Center. And since I'm doing these 7 a.m. teachings anyway, I thought I would fold it in as part of the intensive. And the intensive is about the harmony of Zen and Vipassana. That's the theme. And then once I thought of folding it in, then I thought, well, I should also ask my colleagues to participate in this as well. So I'm not sure what I'll be teaching next week, but it'll be probably something basic about Vipassana practice, but perhaps presented in a way that is in harmony with Zen. And then the following 2 weeks, you'll certainly get some Zen teachings, Zen approach to meditation, and other things, Zen wisdom and things from my two friends. So you can expect that change, and some of you might want to participate in the Zen intensive, the harmony of Zen and Vipassana that San Francisco Zen Center is offering. And I think that today is the last day to sign up if you want to be part of that. And you can see there's a schedule there of what's being offered and things like that. It's all on Zoom. So thank you. So this topic this week is refuge. And yesterday I talked about refuge in the Buddha Dharma Sangha. It's called the triple refuge. And one of the peculiar things, if you study the ancient teachings of the Buddha, he never actually actively suggests that people should go for refuge. A few times he speaks favorably about people doing so and talks about the value of doing so, but there's never the instructions to go for refuge. But he gives go for the triple refuge. He does give instructions for a different kind of refuge than the triple refuge. But to the background for this, the triple refuge, the idea of a triple refuge as a term, predated the Buddha. It was a custom in ancient India to have the triple refuge in three of the gods of the Indian pantheon. And so ancient texts talk about this triple refuge that people would do and going for refuge in the ancient gods. So it was already a custom in ancient India to people do something called the triple refuge. And when the Buddha came along, that language, that ritual, that way of expressing faith was then directed towards the Buddha, Dharma, and the Sangha, and that became the new triple refuge. And most literally, it's an external refuge, the literal Buddha, the literal, his teachings perhaps, and then the community. And as I said yesterday, it can also be an internal refuge. We can find what corresponds to that within ourselves. Now, when the And when the Buddha gave instructions for refuge, he gave in one place, it's a very significant place, right near the end of his life. He knew he was dying, so his teachings now became particularly significant. And he said, gave the instructions, make yourself, dwell, abide with yourself as an island, with yourself as a refuge, with no other refuge. With the Dharma as an island, with the Dharma as a refuge, with no other refuge. And the metaphor of an island, the metaphor for an island is that of a place that's safe from the floods and swirls of the world, the floods, the strong currents, the strong waves, the strong tides. Like I hear on the coast here, you can't really go swimming very many places in the ocean because of the strong rip currents that exist. So an island is a place of safety. So make yourself a place of safety. Make a refuge of yourself. And then he goes on to say, do the same thing with the Dharma, with no other refuge. And the only way to kind of harmonize these two statements is that the self and the Dharma are somehow becoming the same. The Dharma isn't out there, but the Dharma is found somehow in oneself, with oneself. And it's a very strong affirmation of one's own personhood as a place of practice and a place of religious value. And to call this person that you are the place of the Dharma, the Dharma itself, is an affirmation. And that often is not captured so well if we emphasize too much the Buddha's teachings on not-self. Teachings on not-self, teaching on emptiness, sometimes involve a kind of, as profound as they can be, to overemphasize sometimes dismisses the ordinary phenomenological world that we live in, the ordinary experiences of how we are and how we live. And I've seen plenty of people dismiss the value of their emotions, their intentions, their own safety sometimes, and well-being, their health, by overemphasizing that there's some idea that there is no self or everything is empty or something like that. And but here we have the Buddha at the end of his life saying, make yourself a refuge, make yourself an island, a place of safety. And then he asks a rhetorical question. He says, well, how do you do this? And then he explains. He says, you do it by practicing the four foundations of mindfulness. That one dwells, observing the body in the body, ardent, aware, and clearly comprehending, having put aside greed and distress for the world. One abides, observing feelings and feelings, ardent, aware, and clearly comprehending, having put aside greed and distress for the world. One abides, observing mind in the mind, ardent, aware, clearly comprehending, having put aside greed and distress for the world. One abides, observing dharmas and dharmas, ardent, aware, clearly comprehending, having put aside greed and distress for the world. So here, the way to make oneself a refuge, the way to make the Dharma the refuge, is the practice of mindfulness. There's something about mindfulness is the real refuge. Mindfulness is the place that we really find our safety. And part of the task of mindfulness is to do it long enough, dedicated enough, sincerely enough, to discover how it provides a tremendous place of safety, of assurance, of value, of wisdom, and of freedom. And so it isn't pointing, even though the Buddha is pointing to self, it isn't the conventional idea of self and what we identify as a self or self-identity or conceit, but rather it's what opens up when we have this powerful form of awareness. And it isn't that awareness is the self, but it's almost as if awareness is the closest thing that to taking refuge in self, taking refuge in the Dharma. Take refuge in your awareness. But not awareness kind of in the abstract, but awareness that arises out of or is established in the body, in our feelings, in our mind and mind states, and in the Dharma, in the Dharmas, which here in this context, Dharma means the mental processes of our inner life. So there's a clear grounding, a clear connection to the specificity of our life, the details, what's actually going on within us and around us. Really be aware of that, to be established in it. So we're not distracted or reactive or caught up in things, but clearly aware to the point that we dwell independent, not clinging to anything in the world, where the ability to be mindful is not caught or dependent on anything at all, but it's clearly established in this world of ours, this experience of ours here, and this personhood that we are, and not clinging to anything in the world. So this is how we make ourselves a refuge, is by being aware. And the word refuge, sarana, S-A-R-A-N-A, is one of the most powerful expressions of faith, of assurance, of trust, of confidence, that religious confidence, religious inspiration, a kind of sense of religious enthusiasm that I think that Buddhism really honors and has a place for. And to have all that kind of religious feeling, if you will, faith associated with awareness and not to gods outside of us, which was the custom before the Buddha. There is not a savior out there who's going to save us, protect us, but there's something here within ourselves that is the protection, that is the savior, that is the place of safety. And so we do that through practice. It's not wishful thinking, but by practicing the four foundations of mindfulness, the practice of mindfulness, and that includes anapanasati that we just finished going through. So this is another way in which the Buddha talked about refuge. And then we'll continue with other ideas of refuge, this wonderful spiritual quality that supports our practice. We'll continue with that tomorrow. So thank you.